Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Before we get to today's topic, I just want to tell you I missed you. I was out last week on a family vacation. My parents started to take us up north to a lake over 50 years ago, seven kids. Sometimes we got to bring friends. Now, over 50 years later, we're still there every summer. So all of our families and the kids, I think our group was over 50 large this time. And just is so amazing to get away and to watch God move one by one as people come to faith in our family. So anyway, I missed you, but it is so great to be back. Well, if you listen often enough, you know we have Than Bennett on the show. We've in the past called it a faith perspective from the Hill. And as you know, again, if you've been listening, that Than has stepped away from his role on the Hill, and he now serves the kingdom in a completely different way. So unique and so powerful. All of the stuff that God has Than and his wife Brooke doing. It's just powerful. So these conversations every month will still touch on news from the Hill, what's going on, you know, the talking points of news. But we're even going to dive deeper into a faith perspective. You know, as Christ followers, what does that mean for us? How should we, you know, how do you extract the beauty, the beautiful from what's toxic? How do you discern the times and know what to do? How are we to pray? And what can we physically do so that our communities can flourish? Some of the things we'll touch on today with Than are just the growing influence of social media. Is it for the better? Is it for the worse? What do we need to know about it? What should we do about it? The federal appropriations process. How do we discern that that's going to shape up in the months ahead? A U.S. destruction of chemical weapons arsenal. Student loan forgiveness. Updates on that. An employer's obligation to honor the Sabbath based on a Supreme Court ruling. And just a free speech. Where are we going in our country in regards to these? We'll get Than on in a moment. A quick announcement. If you've not downloaded our app, have I told you yet? It's free. It's free and it's awesome. You can go to the App Store, search for Faith Radio Network, download it, and that way, you know what? Wherever you travel, you can take us with you. You can catch our live shows anytime and catch the podcast after the fact. Also, I want you to know, it's been a couple months now. I've been doing a two-minute podcast called Grow and Go. It's under the Faith Radio umbrella. And it's all about just discovering and enjoying what God wants to do in and through you. It's just 2 minutes long. I would love for you to subscribe. Every day you get a little notification. And today's was all about what would happen if insecurity was no longer a part of your framework. So check it out at the podcast store. Just search my name and you will find it. And let me tell you about Than. We're going to get him on the show. Than Bennett is founder and president of Every Good Work, which exists to equip Jesus followers for a life of impact. He and his wife, Brooke, are co-founders of A Fearless Life. Listen to this, which works to find and fund a family for every adoption-eligible foster child in America. Than has more than 20 years of high-level public policy experience with a particular focus in the U.S. Congress and United Nations. He's the author of In Search of the King and My Fame, His Fame. He and Brooke live in Southern Maryland with their three children, Jude, Gambrel, and Hope, as well as host of Farm Animals. The Bennetts are longtime members of the National Community Church in Washington, D.C. That's Mark Batterson's church. Than, you're such a dear friend. Welcome back to the show.
Susie, this appointment on my calendar is literally, I think, my favorite of the month. So I'm just so happy to be back with you.
I'm always amazed at how God, I shouldn't be, but I'm always amazed at how God works through our conversations, because he often surprises us both. We do our prep work, we show up, and then we pray before the show, we give it to the Lord, and then he breathes on it, and he takes us down paths sometimes we don't expect. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times, and I know you felt this way as well, where you finish the show and you're like, wow, look what God did. I mean, so anyway, I always just love these conversations. So let's start with, what has the Lord been speaking to you about these days?
Well, first of all, Susie, if I could just echo that, I've actually found in my life that the moments that God moves the most are those moments, the moments where you actually prepare and then you lay down your preparations at his feet and say, take over from here. And so, you know, before I answer your question, I would just encourage folks, make that a habit in your life. Prepare, work hard, but then proactively and out loud, give it to him. Lay it down at his feet and see what he would do with it. But yeah, this is my favorite segment of your show, Susie. And I have been hearing God whisper one short phrase to me recently. He's been saying, "Than, return to me." And it's a phrase that comes out of Malachi 3 where it says, "Return to me and I will return to you." And I think I've shared about this a little bit before, Susie, but I want to just come back to it again because I started a new habit a while back when I was on a silent retreat. And it's a habit that is this: whenever I'm with God or whenever I just have a moment in the day, I will stop and I will say to God, and I will often do this audibly if I can, I will say, "God, I'm here, I'm yours, and I'm listening." And then I wait, Susie. I wait and I listen. And what I have found is that he speaks something to me and something specific to me every single time that I do that. And so in a few of those moments this week, that's what he's been whispering to me: return to me. And I've been following Jesus for a long time, Susie. But even with that being the case, there are parts of me that need greater surrender to him. And I just think it is so amazing that we desire a God that wants every part of us. He longs for more of us. He wants a deep and intimate relationship with us. So if there's any part of us that's not yielded to him, he's going to continue pursuing us for those parts of us. And so I would just say this to your listeners from that experience this week. And in fact, I actually went through this exercise right before I came on air with you. And what I heard God whisper to me for your listeners, Susie, is that he desires intimacy with them. He desires more of them. And for each person listening, I would say this. I would say that he invites you to step out of things that decay and to step out of things that rust and things that pass away and to pour yourself wholly into him. And I just heard him say that he is going to use you for eternal things, not temporal things. He's going to use you for eternal things. He's going to use you for things that don't decay and for things that don't rust and for things that don't pass away. And so I'll just leave it there. But I just do think, Susie, that if each one of us will truly return to him, he's going to replace our objects of affection that are currently rooted in temporary things. He's going to put eternal things in their place. And I would go so far as to say, Susie, that he is going to take the place of those objects of affection. And we just have to return to him. And we have to do it again and again on a daily basis.
So beautiful. Somebody got to text me an amen. Maybe you needed to hear that word from Than today, that God intends to meet you where you live in your story and to use you in ways that are eternal, in ways where no moth can, you know, destroy, no rust can erode. Who needed to hear that today? Because I believe that's a word for you. Text me 877-933-2484. You know, I've been hanging around in Luke's gospel lately, and a couple of things jumped out at me this morning. One was in Luke chapter 2, where Jesus was 12 years old, and his parents were frantic trying to find him. And they're, you know, like, "Why did you treat us this way?" And he says, "And why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I'd be in my father's house?" And I was sitting with that question about, why do I look for him? Why am I searching after God? And then I go over to Luke 6. It says, "For those of you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward in heaven will be very great, and you'll be truly acting as children of the Most High. Listen to this: for God is kind to those who are ungrateful and the wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate." I'm going to say a little bit more here. It says, "Do not judge others and you'll not be judged. Don't condemn others or it'll all come back against you." So when we get in a self-righteous mode, even with our politicians, if you condemn others, it will come back to you. Forgive others and you'll be forgiven. Listen, forgive and then give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. I just wanted to open with that as well, just off of what you're saying here, as we're listening to what God is saying, Dan, because sometimes we can read this and personalize it as we should. Maybe there's a difficult family member, neighbor, coworker, but I think we need to step back and apply these passages to our thoughts and feelings towards the politicians we don't necessarily like. As Christians, we're bound by God's word. And so I'd love for you just to comment on that, because when I think about this, that if you're condemning others, which means if you are saying that they are, you know, you're subjecting them to a judgment and you're putting a period at the end of a sentence that God is still writing, you don't get to do that. And so to put ourselves in the position of judge, we can discern, but you can't make condemnations and assessments, right? And so how we process even the people that we disagree with and policies we're not happy about with a Christ-like lens. That's what your whole newsletter is about. So I'd love any thoughts you have on that.
Yeah, so good, Susie. And, you know, I would say if you're not reflecting that posture, you're very unlikely to make inroads and to influence policies and leaders and personnel who are trending in a way that is counter to the gospel. And, you know, I would just maybe make this observation. I think how well we're reflecting the character of Jesus, Susie, it's not most revealed in our interaction with friends. It's just not. It's most revealed in our interaction with enemies and those that that we disagree with. And so I just think, you know, certainly the way we interact with community of Jesus followers is really important. In fact, I've written about that pretty recently, that one of the greatest blessings for Jesus followers is to do this journey alongside each other. But it's those interactions with people who have not yet encountered Jesus Christ that actually reveal something different about us because he lives within us. And again, I just to come full circle on this, I think that's why so much of what Jesus calls us to is just being with him. Because Susie, if we're with him and if we're constantly communing with him and interacting with him, he is what's going to flow out of us. I can't tell you how many situations I am in this town where if fan flows out of me, we're in trouble, right? Mm-hmm. But if Jesus is what's flowing out of me, then that changes the game, that changes the equation. And actually some of the movement that we want to see in culture and in society, it happens, but it doesn't happen because I vanquish my enemy. It's because my enemy sees something different in me, and that's Jesus living in me.
So good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want you to say a word about this great news. We announced it last month, but it was kind of up and coming. Well, now it's here. Dan Bennett has his own show on Faith Radio. It airs every Saturday. The first show aired this last Saturday, so I'm going to have Than say just a quick word about that on the other side of the break. We're thrilled to have Than in our lineup. He's a member of the family, has been for a long time. His message, his tone, his heart, his posture just so fits our DNA, so we're so thrilled to welcome him to the Faith Radio family, but that doesn't mean he doesn't get to keep being on this show. So there was a contingency in the contract. Actually, I don't think there was a contract, but I'm just saying that if there is a contract, that should be in it. I get Than for once a month. So when we come back, I'll have you say a quick word about your show. And we're going to dig into then the power and the influence of social media and what we need to know as Christians. We'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. So honored to have our friend Than Bennett on the show once a month to just really get a faith perspective from the Hill. But as I said at the open of the show, he no longer works on the Hill in public policy. He's working in ministry in ways. It's like I think you saw enough of, you know, the debate and the vitriol that you've decided to step out and be a part of the solution, which you sure, certainly are doing. Than Bennett is the founder and president of Every Good Work, which exists to equip Jesus followers for a life of impact. And he and his wife co-founded A Fearless Life, which works to find and fund a family for every adoption-eligible foster child in America. One of my dreams is that as we talk each month, that somebody on this show, one of our listeners, feels quickened to adopt, and they contact A Fearless Life, and your ministry funds an adoption for a Faith Radio listener. I believe it's going to happen. But then we just, you know, we announced the good news last month. It hadn't yet happened. Well, it's happened. You have a show on Faith Radio, so you got to say a quick word about it, and then we'll jump into our topics of the day.
Yeah, Susie, can I say something first? Because I don't want to steer your show, but you said one of your dreams is that you hope a listener of yours will reach out to us to adopt. That hasn't happened yet, but today we had one of your listeners donate to fund an entire adoption.
What?
For an adoptive family just today.
Oh my goodness, are you really?
Really.
Wow. Yep. Praise God.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow, praise thank God. You for sharing. Wow. I should have upped my game. I have two dreams. Now one of them has just been fulfilled.
God works in mysterious ways, and sorry, I didn't mean to throw us off there.
No,
but yeah,
this is
unbelievably exciting, Susie. I've been writing and distributing the Equip newsletter since the first of the year, so we're somewhere around 30 editions, and it's been growing, and I think it's been very helpful for those of us who have been interacting to just sort of reorient ourselves toward current events in a way that reflects Philippians 4:8, which is the way that we say it is to view all things through the true and the beautiful. And so, you know, that message has always found a home here at Faith Radio. And so now, thanks to all of you, we've added a radio show and a podcast component. And like you said, it airs Saturday at 4:00 Central. It's on demand, of course, all the time at My Faith Radio or anywhere you get your podcast. So would love to have people check that out. It's just one more way to consume and not even consume. I would say interact with the content of the Equipped, because the entire vision here, Susie, is that we don't actually consume news and current events. It's that we look at it with a specific eye towards how can we serve like Jesus served in the midst of these stories. And I think if you look at the readership of the Equip, you will find people that actually view these events from a whole bunch of different perspectives. And there are a lot of them, Susie, that I have a very strong and firm opinion on. And I will even sometimes make that known in the writing. But the goal of the newsletter, the goal of the radio show, is actually not really to convince folks on the substance of the issue. It's to get us all to look at it through the lens of Scripture and to see how we as Jesus followers are supposed to be serving in the midst of it. And so it's an amazing community where people of all sorts of different backgrounds are coming together. And I'm delighted that it's found an audience there with Faith Radio, and hopefully people will check it out.
So when give us a glimpse of what you're doing. Are you giving, kind of like we do here, some top news items and then just bringing a faith perspective and an action perspective?
Yeah, so I appreciate that. What we do, Susie, is we bracket the news and the information that we look at between two what we call lenses, the lens of the true and the lens of the beautiful. And the true is what we open every newsletter with, what we open every broadcast with, and we open God's Word and we discuss something that is true, eternally true. And so we want to do that before we turn to a more temporary space and look at the world around us that is more fallen. So we start with the true, and then we look at usually three headline stories. Last week or a couple of weeks ago, we actually looked at four decisions that came out of the Supreme Court. But so we briefly discussed three stories, usually a paragraph or two. But then we dig a little bit deeper and take a look at what the Bible has to say about that issue and what we are supposed to do in that issue. So we don't, sometimes we issue, you know, some sort of a policy discussion, Susie, but we always look at how we individually as Jesus followers are supposed to serve in that space. And then just very briefly, the last segment is very simple. It's called The Beautiful. And we look at something that's beautiful in our world and the creation around us so that we can sort of have that posture of resting in the beautiful as we go back into the world to interact with it. And actually right now, I'm kind of leaning on my wife, Brooke, for that section a little bit. She's a photographer. She likes taking nature photography and food photography. And so she is actually providing an image. So we're looking through the lens of her camera each week as we close the newsletter and as we close the broadcast, and we're relating it to something from Scripture. So we open with true, then we look at the world around us, and we close with the beautiful and try to go back out and serve in the midst of it.
Sounds so wonderful. You may have to weave in that a Faith Radio listener funded a family adoption. I mean, because that's such a beautiful thing. In a day where people are shaking their fists, these people step up. And so that is amazing. And I'm just praying God would replenish your storehouse many times over if you're listening. That, like Angie, my producer, just typed in the chat. She said, I have chills. I mean, I do too. That's so amazing. You know, I'm an emotional person, so I want to cry right now because I'm just so moved by that. And I'm still believing that there's someone who's going to feel quickened to adopt, and we're going to have another story to tell. But all right, upward and onward we go, Theon. How about the influence of social media? What do we need to know? What do we need to do?
Yeah, so this is what we opened the newsletter with this week, Susie. And I this isn't going to come as a surprise to anybody listening, but social media is just exploding in its influence in our lives. And so just over the course of the last week, there were at least three major stories around this issue. And so what we did is we just pulled out each of those headlines, and I'll just briefly mention them. One, number one, Twitter announced that they were going to limit the number of tweets that each user could read in a day. Meta, or Facebook, they launched a competitor to Twitter called Threads. And Susie, they reached 100 million users within 5 days. 100 million users within five days. And then the third headline was a federal judge reaffirmed a previous court order. It was an injunction that blocked federal officials from trying to influence content decisions on social media. And so just all of those stories taken together over a course of a week, what we tried to dig in a little bit deeper is just, we're just candid with ourselves. It's overwhelming. And I think it can be overwhelming for us as Jesus followers to try to figure out how we navigate in a chaotic space like that. And so we put forward a little bit of a framework. First, we looked at Proverbs 2:11, which says, discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. And Susie, I just want to encourage folks, we shouldn't let cultural norms dictate our decisions in any area of life. And I think that's true certainly for social media. We need to be wise in determining whether and how we use social media. Now, I have chosen to use social media, and I know you have as well. So I'm not at all saying that the answer is certainly no, but I do think we need to understand how these platforms are designed. And Susie, they're designed very specifically to curate information in a way that hooks you and extends your time on the platform. And so we just need to engage with that in mind. If our call is Philippians 4:8 to remain focused on all that is true and beautiful and holy and just and pure, then Susie, we need to be mindful that there is competition for that focus, and that competition comes through these social media platforms. And so, look, we're blessed to live in a time where the speed of communication can spread the gospel all over the world in the blink of an eye. But we need to be mindful as we interact with them that there is an effort to sway our focus. And so as we choose how to engage, we need to do it with that in mind.
So good. I want to read this from your newsletter as we go to break here, from Equipped Newsletter. You said, next, if you decide to engage, it'd be prudent to proactively moderate your consumption. Proverbs 25 warns twice against eating too much honey. In other words, even a good thing becomes a bad thing if it's consumed with too great a volume. Social media platforms are designed to curate information in a way that will hook you and extend your time on the platform. We should intentionally guard against that in order to remain focused on all that's true and beautiful. So when we come back, I want to carry on this conversation and talk about two temptations with social media of the enemy, is discouragement and distraction. So it can be used for good, but be aware that the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And two ways he does that with social media are to discourage you and distract you. We'll talk about that in a minute. You're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to our good friend Theon Bennett, who joins us once a month to look at some of the top news items of the day and how we can really discern the times and know what to do, to engage in a faith perspective, to really understand what is true about what's happening, but then what does God want us to do in the middle of it all? Right now, we've been we're talking social media, the power of social media, the growth of social media, and what we need to know and do as believers. And two of the things I thought of while you were talking, Than, is social media's how the enemy can use social media to distract and discourage, to distract us from the beauty around us. And you talk a lot about the beautiful, but it's like, because the way that it's, you know, designed, it sucks you in, and you can spend more time scrolling, especially you're missing a beautiful day in this, like, say, summer season, where you can go out and just breathe in the fresh air, go for a walk. How much beauty are you missing because your face is in your phone? And I love social media. I use it, but I'm very limited because I don't want it to suck me away from just the beauty of all around me, what God might be wanting to speak to me. And so that's the distraction part, distracting us from the beauty of who God is and his creation around us. And then the discourage is just, to me, where it causes you to be discouraged around your identity, because you find yourself committing the sin of comparison by looking at everybody's best pictures as you're living your very real life. And I thought it was so interesting in your newsletter. You said that we have to understand that if the product is free, we are the product. So maybe say a bit more about that, and even as it relates to just stewardship, so that we don't take the bait when it comes to distraction and discouragement.
You're spot on there, Susie. I mean, the business model of social media platforms, and this is probably not revolutionary to anybody, but the business model is dependent on keeping our eyeballs on the platform. The longer that we are on the platform, the more they are able to sell our access to advertisers and others who are trying to get in front of us. And again, that's not necessarily a reason to be off altogether. You just have to understand that you actually are the product that the platform is offering to their customers. And I think you said it really well, Susie, because it's not like the enemy, in order to get us off mission, has to get us to do something completely contradictory to, you know, some specific command. If he can just absorb us, Susie, if he can just tie our time up, if he can just distract us and keep us from actually engaging with those who are lost, then he's accomplished what he's after. And I would draw this comparison too. I'm pretty sure you and I have had this conversation, but there's a temptation right now for Jesus followers to do one of two things in the political space. And I think this ties directly to the social media space as well. There's a temptation to just check out and walk away because it's all corrupt and it's all lost, right? That's a temptation on one side. And then the temptation on the other side is to sort of go all in and to use the power of politics or the power of social media to accomplish what you think is, you know, a gospel end. And I would just tell you that either of those extremes misses the direct aim of the gospel, which is to engage in broken places, but to do it on behalf of an eternal cause. And so when it comes to social media, I would just very simply advise this: monitor your intakes really, really deliberately. Decide in advance, Susie, how much time and from which sources you're going to take in information. And then, you know, when you reach those limits, put it away and go back to the work that Jesus has set in front of us.
Amen. Somebody got to say amen. So good. Okay, we're switching gears. Next topic, appropriations process. How do you see things shaping up as we head into the fall season?
Yeah, so this is one of those issues, Susie, that people tease me sometimes because I frequently come back to this issue, but I think it's a very important issue for us as Jesus followers to think about for a couple of different reasons. Number one, and this is the most obvious one, Jesus talks so frequently in his ministry about stewarding finances and resources well. And the federal appropriations process, how the federal government spends taxpayer dollars, is the government's version of that. And so I think we have a duty to really encourage them to steward resources well and in a way that is not wasteful. And quite frankly, they're coming up short. But the second reason I come back to this is because as we talk about this overarching mission of the Equipped, which is to keep people focused on world events through what is true and beautiful, the spending process, Susie, it is the most frequent issue by which all sides in Washington, D.C. try to spin you up with a narrative that does not reflect reality. And I'm going to explain it. in this exact moment, we're heading towards an end of September deadline when the government has to be funded. And there are 12 appropriation bills that in theory have to pass to fund the government. Susie, none of them have passed. And I will tell you in advance what's going to happen between now and the end of September. The rhetoric is going to rise. The panic is going to rise. The volume is going to increase. But we're going to come to the end of September, and these bills will not be completed. And the reason that the rhetoric and the panic tries to be spun up on both sides is because as we come down to that deadline, both sides are trying to get leverage for the negotiation that will happen in the last few days to either pass what's called an omnibus bill, which is all of these bills passed into one, or maybe something called a continuing resolution, which is just kind of punting the ball down the field. And Susie, that's a really bad way to do budgeting, but it is the way it's happening right now. And so in the newsletter, I just encourage Jesus followers to do two things. One, do engage on substance, because this is a biblical command to steward our resources well. But let's not be taken in to this Washington rhetorical game when we know good and well what's going to happen. We have the spoiler. They're not going to pass all these bills before the end of September. And so there's no need for us to get overly spun up over something that we can actually forecast.
So if we're listening to the rhetoric on either side, you're going to be all stirred up to fear, to hatred, to angst, to worry when this is so predictable. So one, you can pray and intercede for your government. Two, you can steward your resources well, because you're the one who will give an account to God for how you've stewarded. They will give an account to God for how they've stewarded. And I think somehow finding a way to stay in a place of peace without putting your head in the sand and without shaking your fist at the dark, to me, that is the mature, messy middle. But it's not easy, but I'm so grateful for the heads up, Dan. That's super helpful.
Well, and I love what you just did there too, Susie, because I, no matter who your federal elected official is, I do think that this spending process is something that you should interact with them on so that there is improvement, because the system is broken. But I noticed what you did there. You made it personal, Susie, and that's actually exactly how we closed this segment in the Equip newsletter. Maybe it's a reminder for us to take personal stock of how our own budgeting is going, and how our own resources are being spent, and how generous we are able to be, and if we've managed our finances in a way that allows us to be generous. And so it's easy to point the finger, and quite honestly, Susie, the federal government deserves it. I mean, it's actually pretty egregious how taxpayer dollars are being handled. But at the same time, if we aren't managing the things that God has put and entrusted to us, then it's going to be very hard to have credibility when interacting with our federal officials. So that's actually how we close. Take a personal look at your finances and see if those are in order as well.
Wow, appreciate that. Okay, chemical weapons, a nice light subject. So the U.S. no longer has any declared chemical weapons. What does that mean for us and for other countries that still possess such weapons?
Yeah, so I think this was a surprising story for a lot of folks. You know, I was aware of this, Susie, but I was not aware that we were as close to achieving, I guess I would call it a goal, as we achieved last year. And that goal is the eradication of all of our declared chemical weapons. This was a treaty that was passed, a convention that was passed in 1997, ratified by the U.S. Senate. And so all of the countries that are signatories to this convention agreed to dismantle their chemical weapons arsenal. And it took this long for the United States to successfully dismantle all of their declared chemical weapons. They did the vast majority very quickly, Susie, but my understanding is that some of the last ones were pretty complex to take apart. And so it took all of this time until just last week till the last declared agent was destroyed. And then when we looked at application, I think the first and the most obvious one is just because all of the declared chemical weapons have been destroyed doesn't mean that there aren't undeclared chemical weapons, maybe even in the United States or abroad. I don't know the answer to that, but I think it would be naive to suggest that there are no more. But when it comes to personal application for Jesus followers, we just ask readers to look at two things. One, Matthew 5:9, we're all supposed to be peacemakers. And so it should be a good thing if there is less conflict. Now, dismantling of arsenals, does that create peace? I think that's probably a whole nother conversation. But then the second thing is 1 John 2:17. One day our world will pass away, no matter the cause, and our citizenship is in heaven. So as we look at how our world is passing away and the threats to it and the different ways that it could actually be destroyed more rapidly, we can take heart and we can have peace, because while we are supposed to engage while here, ultimately, Susie, we're traveling to a place where our citizenship actually resides.
It's such a constant needed reminder for us then that our hope is in the Lord, that we are pilgrims passing through. This world is not our home. Super, super important. I'm wondering what you'd say to the person listening today who still has a love of country. And again, we've got people listening from 170 different countries. So I just want to honor that, knowing that we do broadcast out of the U.S. But for the people who feel like, you know, I love my country. I mean, we've made mistakes as a nation in our history, but there's also, this has been a safe haven for so many. And they're wondering, have we gone too far? I mean, really is pushing God out of the public square, the money that's been spent, the moral spiraling. I mean, do I just look to heaven and try to be faithful in my own personal life? Or do you have a sense of hope that the pendulum can once again swing back from where we are right now? Do you have any sense about that?
Yeah, well, first of all, you just described me, Susie. I love this country. I am so grateful for the recognition of inherent rights that were endowed in me and in you and in your listeners by our Creator. I'm grateful for a country that recognized that it's not a state, it's not a nation, it's not a leader that creates those rights. Those are rights that are given to us by our Creator, and a governing process is just a human and a flawed and a broken way to try to recognize those rights and to try to defend them from infringement. And so I think the structure of our government was genius. I think it was rooted in biblical principles, and I think it's worth defending. So I love this place, and my message is never one of just kumbaya, Susie. We live on a battlefield. We just do. But at the same time, we also recognize that our world, all of it, will pass away. And so we want to be careful to not conflate what is eternal with it, what is temporary. And as much as I love this country, that falls in the latter category. And so I would just say two things, Susie. One, where we started this broadcast, return to me. You said, is there hope? Have we gone too far? Well, in and of herself, yes. All have sinned and fallen short. We can't attain that standard. But Susie, if we will return to Him, of course there is hope for course correction. Of course there is hope for redemption. Of course there is hope for God to bless our country. I would say not only again, but also continually. And then the second thing, Susie, and I'll be brief here, but Jeremiah 29 talks about this so specifically. It talks about investing in the place where God has placed you, both the physical place and the physical time. It talks about, you know, building houses and gardens and investing in your community and building collaborations. And we do that in order to build an eternal kingdom and in order to draw people into a kingdom of God. But Susie, it's very specific. He wants us to do it within the beauty of His creation that He has created. That's here and now. And so I really firmly believe that if we take that bait and we throw our hands up and we say, all is lost, we're only looking towards heaven. Susie, I'm this is going to be maybe sound a little harsh. I think that's turning our eyes against the clear commands of Scripture. And so maybe I'll leave it there. If that's how you're feeling today, just open up Jeremiah 29 today, and I think you will find a better vision and a better way forward.
And I would add, open up Psalm 37. We've talked about it in the past, but boy, does that chapter give you a contrast. Do not fret about the wicked. It only leads to evil. If you're sitting there fretting about it seems the wicked are prospering, that will lead to your evil, your downfall. You dwell on the land. You feed on God's faithfulness. You delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. God is saying there needs to be a contrast with how you respond to the times and dwell in the land and how the wicked do, because He treats His children differently. So when we come back, I want to talk more about how to keep perspective on the times. We're going to touch on the student loan issue, but I want to spend a few more minutes on this. How do I keep perspective? So as we're going to break, I'm going to ask engagement from you listening today. I want to know, what truth is God just having you camp on? right now? What truth is it? What biblical truth? You know, like Dan was saying that the Lord's been telling him, come to me. You know, I've been thinking so much about he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's a truth. That's what God said. What truth are you just sitting with and pondering? And what's one beautiful thing about your life? Will you text me? 877-933-2484. We'll draw a couple of names from those who text and send you a book bundle. I've just decided, I haven't told Dan, haven't told Angie. I'm just making it up as I go. But I think we've got some book bundles of Dan's. He's written a couple of really great books. So we'll draw some names and send you a book bundle of one of each of Dan's books. You can text 877-933-2484. So what's true? For me, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What's beautiful? I got to watch my brother and his son get baptized in the lake while we were up north. Wow, that was amazing. That was beautiful. We'll be back in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. Well, here at Faith Radio, we love God's Word. We're committed to God's Word, and we want to help you dig into God's Word so that you understand it in ways you never have before. We like to provide opportunities where we can together read the Bible together. Well, we'd love for you to explore what the Bible says about suffering, truth, and godliness as we read the Bible together through the book of 2 Timothy. You can sign up now for the 2-week study and get your free study guide at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We have a good friend, Than Bennett, on the show. He joins us every month. We're getting a faith perspective on what's going on in the news. And I've asked you to engage with me today just for these next few minutes. What's true in your life? Like, what biblical truth are you just lingering with, sitting with, pondering, marinating in? And what's beautiful about your life? I would love to know. All right, Sherry says this, truth is my hope is in him alone. I need not worry about a thing. So many beautiful things in my life, but mostly I'm thankful for time with family and enjoying the summer at the lake. Love that. And Cheryl, different Cheryl. One's a Sherry, one's a Cheryl. What's true? God is in control. What's beautiful? Oh, my son asked his girlfriend to marry him and she said yes. That makes me happy, Cheryl. Thank you. See, good things are still happening in the world today. Judy says, truth, God is telling me, trust my tender love and care for you. That's just beautiful. Beautiful thing about my life, the flower garden my husband and I are tending together. That's beautiful. Wow. Allie says, the truth is the Lord's been impressing on me. It's from Jeremiah. When you seek me with all your heart and I'll be found by you. Such a comfort to know God doesn't hide or stay far from us. He desires us to come close. That is beautifully said, Allie. Wow. Michelle says, great message today. The word will always find you when you need it most. When I need it most, I just told myself I need to seek the Lord more. I turned to the station. You confirmed it. Thanks and blessings to you all. Here's the truth. God is always with us and available. Wow. So good. All right, so Than, that's me. What about you? So you talked about what's true in your life, and you also talked about what's beautiful. You've got a Faith Radio listener funding a family adoption. Is there anything else you want to highlight about that?
Yeah, I'd love to answer that question, Susie. First of all, one of your listeners there referenced Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That was the foundational verse for my first book, In Search of the King. So I love that. I would echo that. But here's what was beautiful in my life this week. We were at the one-year birthday party for one of the babies we had the privilege of being interim foster parents to a year ago as she was discharged from the hospital. So Wow. We're at this birthday party. She's turning one. And we got notification that our nonprofit has another family that has applied and has been accepted by our placement partner for adopting from foster care. So it was just this beautiful full circle moment of God moving in a way that brings families together and forming families. And so, yeah, that's what's beautiful in my life this week.
So good. So keep them coming, friends. This is so inspiring. Text me, what's true in your life? What's a biblical truth God's been having you sit with? And what's beautiful in your life? What I was thinking about, Than, as you were talking, going to the break, especially talking about Jeremiah, because he was talking to a people in captivity. You and I have addressed this before, you know? Don't shrivel here. Dwell here. Flourish here. Plant gardens. Have babies, you know? And I'm also thinking about when Abraham was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's like, Lord, if you find 10 people there, Will you relent? Will you hold back from destroying the city? Not even 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah. But you know what? You can pick any nation, but I would say especially in America, there are amazing, amazing churches, amazing clusters of serious, solid, mature Christians and people coming to Christ. I can't tell you that it's happening at our church and many other churches, that the number of people just coming in the doors, the number of spontaneous baptisms, God is moving. So I know He sees us. So you can look at the policies and really despair, or you can step back and say, God is still on the move. And as you were saying, Than, as we do our part, we seek God with all our hearts. We dwell in the land. We feed on His faithfulness. We become a part of the solution to some of the world's problems. Jesus says, if I return and see you about my Father's business, I will put an apron on myself and serve you. And I think that should be inspiring enough to us to say, we're not hunkering down. We're not hoping we can just hang on till Jesus comes. We're going to dwell in the land. We're going to dream here. We're going to pray big prayers here because we serve a God who hears us when we pray and He answers prayers. I just think, be encouraged that He's the same God. Even though in society, people have pushed Him out of the public square and you're seeing the evidence of that, if you are a Christ follower, the Spirit of God is alive in you and His Word is still living and breathing. Anything you want to comment there?
Yeah, amen and amen. And I would just testify to the fact that what you're describing, Susie, that's happening in Washington, D.C. as well. And I know that the news and the information that comes out of here makes it seem as if that is otherwise. But I am telling you, God is moving in this place as well. And you mentioned the story of Abraham advocating on behalf of Sodom, this terrible place where he was just asking if he could find a remnant, would God spare the city? And I think that's such a perfect example of how we should be engaging today.
That's right.
I actually wrote about this in one of my books as well. But here's the point I want to draw out of that. Susie, you know this, but I want to remind everybody. Abraham went back to God 6 times. Reducing the number. At first he said, you know, if I find 100 people, will you save it? He said, yes. If I find 50, will you save it? God said, yes. He went back 6 times, Susie. And it wasn't like he got to a low enough number where God said, no, my mercy doesn't extend that far. They settled on a number, Susie, because Abraham quit asking God to extend His mercy. Now, I'm not criticizing Abraham. I think Abraham did an amazing thing by trying to advocate for a place that appeared lost. But Susie, I think our role is twofold. One, it's to continue going back to God and asking for a greater grant of mercy, asking for more time for those who are lost. And then with whatever time God does grant us, going out into the world and calling others to the side of Jesus. So let's sort of hold God to it. Let's go back to God and ask for more mercy. Let's not walk away. Because, Susie, I think if I'm reading this story right, I think God is willing to extend mercy beyond what we've been willing to ask.
Boy, and that's the thing, is I remember Francis Frangipane, he's someone I've referenced before in my early years. He was very formative in my early years of faith. But he said, you don't want to be calling judgment down on your own city. You're a part of that city, you know. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is a time to be interceding. God, have mercy on us. And this dear soul, I don't have a name here, but says the true thing that they're focusing on is 2 Corinthians 5:10. Joy, not suffering, is eternal. Holy amen to that. And the beautiful, I got to be at my grandmother's side as she was rescued from her suffering from cancer. She entered her eternal rest this last Thursday. Wow, God bless you. And this dear one says, I've been camping out in day 63 of Prevail, which is a devo that I wrote. Like David, I'm remembering God's faithfulness in the past. I feel He's asking me to choose hope and be courageous regardless of circumstances. He's been faithful then. He'll be faithful now. He's been showing me His tender, gentle love this week. Wow, friend, that just is so precious. One more here I'll read. Clearly, during the sermon yesterday, He clearly indicated me to go to the work of helping the youth group and other groups to raise funds for the mission trips. And at once I moved forward, he would bless it immensely. It was made clear to me in the sermon when the leper who was cleansed, when he moved forward to do what Jesus told him to do, which was show the priest and make an offering. My little thing is hopping here. Ah, where is it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to run with it. How beautiful. Isn't this great, Dan? I mean, just taking a few moments to get some live. Oh, and there's a whole bunch more that just came in. Wow. Any last words you want to say before we wrap up today? There's so many other texts that came in. People are experiencing the beautiful and they're standing on the truth. How beautiful. Any thoughts you want to say?
Well, I'll just very simply say that I love closing the broadcast this way because this is why we intentionally close the newsletter and my show this way, because I think it puts us in a posture when we go back and interact with a world that is very often not beautiful, Susie. We can bring the beauty of Jesus Christ into it. And quite frankly, that's our mission. It's not so much to rail at that which is broken. It's to show that which is broken the beauty that is offered to it. And so, great way to close.
Wow. Thank you, Than. I know you got another appointment to hop on right now. Friends, thank you for tuning in. Keep thinking about what's true and what's beautiful. It'll help frame your perspective. Pray you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.